The scripture today for today is twofold, one from the book of Jesus Christ according to John, and then also the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, as you well know. It's confusing, but accept that these are the passages for today, so listen to them for what they say. As we turn to the book of John, it's on page 106 in the New Testament in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. And you'll recall that this is the event that took place just hours before Christ was sentenced to death. This was the questioning by the Roman Pontius Pilate. So listen to these words. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or do others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then turning to the book of Revelation, the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 230. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, which must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, his faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is about images and meanings and context. Today is about who God is and who you are, and how you see God and how you see yourself. It is about beginnings and endings and where you are between the two. What would it mean to you if I told you that today is the last Sunday of the year, and that the next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, is the first Sunday of the new year? Depending upon your context and the meaning you find in the calendar, you might say that I am absolutely crazy, or you might say that I am right on target. On the secular calendar, by which the world does its business, December 31st is the last day of the year, and January 1st is the beginning of the new year. But on the ecclesiastical calendar, by which the church does its business, Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, as today is sometimes called, is the last day of the church year. And the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the new year. Think about the images that come to mind when I say New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. What comes to mind when I say Happy New Year? When some people hear those words and these salutations, they automatically think of the cartoon figure of an old man with a long beard stooped over a cane, giving way to a baby boy in a diaper. And in many of these images, the old man has a sash across his chest that this year will say 2006, while the baby prancing around in only his diaper has a similar sash across his belly that will read 2007. But as an afterthought, I wonder why these human images of the old year and the new year are always depicted as male. Is there something inherently male about a calendar year? Images and meanings and context. Okay, so I've kept you in suspense long enough. I'll bet that some of you have been asking yourselves, why is that crazy pastor wearing a white cowboy hat with his clerical robe? Am I right? Okay. Yeah, Mark was asking that. Part of the reason is because I wanted you to pay attention. And apparently it worked. I wanted you to be curious, perhaps, maybe even confused, or maybe looking for understanding in the conflict of images and their meaning and their context. What do you think of when you see somebody in a cowboy hat? When I grew up in central Ohio, a cowboy hat meant the West. And I don't mean Western Ohio. It meant John Wayne and cattle drives. It meant ranches and rodeos and Rocky Mountain High. It meant gorgeous sunsets and Native Americans and rugged wilderness. A cowboy hat signified for me a romantic notion of something far away from my life. For many of you, it probably means work and farms and ranches and the way of life of your childhood. For lifelong Westerners, a hat like this is probably a whole lot less glamorous than for a kid from central Ohio. Well, what do you think this image would mean to someone from Tonga or from Ghana or from the Congo? How would it seem from somebody from South Korea or from Europe or from China? My guess is that this image holds as many different meanings as there are context and cultures of people. And what do you think of when you see a pastor in a clerical robe? Several people have told me that I ought to wear a robe more often. I get a similar reaction when I wear the clerical collar. But I've also had some people who came up to me and told me that I look like a Roman Catholic priest in my collar. They refer to me as Father Will, and boy, that does a number. Does it matter to you if your pastor is wearing a robe or a collar or a coat and a necktie? It matters a lot to some people. Given the recent history in the Roman Catholic Church, and even more recently in some of the evangelical churches right here in Colorado, are there now some shadowy sides to the image of a pastor? And what do you think about a pastor's robe anyway? Do you think this is how Jesus dressed? No, not at all. The robes of modern Protestant pastors date back to the academic robes, the university robes of the 17th and 18th centuries in Europe. At that time, all pastors were men, and all pastors were learned men, having studied theology and literature and the classics at universities. And frankly, it was a question of credibility for some people. They wanted to be confident that their pastor was well-educated and could be counted on to read and interpret the Holy Bible and to administer the sacraments in a proper manner. And it was the law of the church that pastors were well-educated before they were ordained. And it is that way today. And unfortunately, it hasn't been very long since women were allowed to be ordained into the church. There are still some denominations and some people who will not allow women to be ordained, even though God has called them into ministry. Images and meanings and context. What goes through your mind when you hear the title Christ the King? Do you see some male monarch in a long red robe lined with white fur, sitting upon a throne with a golden crown on his head, holding a scepter, sitting in a long hall of a castle on a mountainside? I wonder what our African brothers and sisters see in their mind's eye when you hear the title Christ the King. And when all of us think about this passage from John where Jesus is being questioned by Pontius Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, what kind of images are going through your mind then? When you think about Jesus Christ and his ministry on this earth, does that match your image of a king? Jesus never referred to himself as a king. Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. But for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Maybe because of the historical context, that is, since Jesus walked the earth at the beginning of the first century in the Roman Empire, maybe that is why the writers of the Gospels so often referred to Jesus as a king. That's what people knew. The dictionary defines a king as a male monarch of a major territorial unit, especially one whose position is hereditary and who rules for life. Images and meanings and context. But given the confusion of seeing your pastor in a cowboy hat and a clerical robe, maybe for some people, maybe for a lot of people, there is confusion in trying to understand Jesus Christ as a king. Maybe that image doesn't work for some people. Maybe, given our different contexts and our different meanings, maybe we need to find new ways to think about Jesus Christ in order to reach out to more people. How are modern Christians throughout the world able to understand and think of Jesus Christ given the secular context of this planet in the 21st century? Beyond that one definition that I read, the dictionary offers another one. A king is one that holds a preeminent position. One who holds a preeminent position. And when we turn to Revelation, we find some other ways to help open up our image of Jesus Christ. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." How is it possible for modern people to live in this world in such a way that this image of Jesus Christ actually matters in our day-to-day living, in our day-to-day lives? How can we recover this role of God in our worldview, where Jesus Christ takes the preeminent position in our lives, as Christ held in the life of John Wesley? How can we allow God's grace and God's love to so permeate our lives that we have no choice but to respond to each other in loving ways as Christ did? I try to live a life like that, but it's tough to do. I'll tell you this, though. Since I have admitted that God has a hold on my life and has called me into ministry, I'm a much happier person. Since I have admitted on a daily basis that I have fallen short of God's image, that I am a sinner in need of God's grace, I am more at peace with myself. I still sin a whole lot. You can ask Jane. But at least I know that I am forgiven when I repent of my misdeeds, when I turn back to God for direction. On this last Sunday of the church year, we think about Jesus at the end of his life, at his bloody crucifixion. Next Sunday, we will celebrate together the beginning of our church year, the first Sunday of Advent, where we begin the long period of waiting for Jesus Christ to be born once again, to be born anew into our lives. I pray that each of you will think about who Jesus Christ is, who you are, during this thoughtful period of Advent. Images and meanings and context. Christ the King? Maybe. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Maybe this Sunday there is more room in your heart, more room in your life, for you to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. May you belong to the truth. I pray that it will be so. Amen.